I am excited. I'm telling you, this is just one of those things we're on the cusp of, but we are in the place. Do you remember when in order to record music, you had to have an SSL console and the recording people dictated the whole
Yes, I do.
process. And it was all about just getting to a studio where they had a machine, and then you had to go to the guy, and he had all the stuff, and he would tell you how to play and what to do, and he would get the credit. All that, the way that studios went away, that we're on a cusp of another thing like that for video, where all those, and it's not that you don't need a producer or like good producers that are creative people like Aaron Sprinkle aren't perfect and necessary and wonderful and additive, but the idea that the nerdy person that wants to talk that is not creative is controlling a process, that's bad. And but they're the ones that are the most obnoxious sound guy type person, and then the technology disrupted them basically. We're on a similar place with video now, because the video that you can edit in CapCut or the Insta360 app, the editing a video on a mobile device is so much easier and faster and better than on Premiere, that the video guys are in big trouble. You know what I mean when I say video guys? Because it's like very close to kids and unskilled people being faster, easier to communicate, less pretentious to do video editing than video editors who have a bunch of equipment you can never understand, and then what? And then you have to pay them a bunch, and then you have to not collaborate well with them, and they go work on it by themselves, and they send it back to you. That's about to get pretty disrupted, because you can do a unbel that software on mobile is getting unreal, and then kids just naturally know how to do it. Have you done
I mean, it's unbelievable
it?
already, and you're right. Like I was talking to my neighbor, and his church is getting a new sound system with some lights, and the cheapest he could find was like a little over $100,000. And I was like, sound and lights, and the church is doing this, and I was like, huh. My main thought was, does it really cost that much now? Like, it just, and especially since the forums have changed so much that like that's an old forum in some way. So like even a great sound system and lighting doesn't matter as much to this next generation that you're trying to get, sadly. You know what I mean? Like they're not
Yeah,
going to be
the
all
bigness
impressed.
of it. Yeah, and the big speakers that sound good and powerful enough lights, that's still going to be heavy duty, and like that's still going to be kind of something. But I mean, even sound equipment is like, we have in our little couple of cases all of the sound equipment except for the speakers, and speakers keep getting smaller and cheaper, insane. Like our bass amp is powerful, is a little thing. The PA speakers are getting that way too. So you can have crazy PA speakers that are small that you could just rent, bring in, throw up for a few hundred bucks, and it can do anything. And so, yeah, I don't see spending even all that much. Lighting is still the most complicated, intensive thing for sure, is the last thing is lighting. But even still, it's getting lighter and smaller and cheaper. But it's like overall, like if you're not doing it on an iPad, what are you doing?
I mean, especially because that's what everybody's doing it on. So that's only going to get better and better as well.
Yeah, and
You know
that's
what I
what
mean?
people
Like
know
they're
how to
working on
use.
this.
Yeah, it's the
I mean,
ultimate tool. Like, if you're not doing that, you're old.
we are, by the way.
I'm just
We
saying,
are.
you have to, you're old. If you think the laptop is better than that phone for Zoom, this is better quality than you were last week.
That's true.
This
But
is
that means
better. It looks better and
I'm
it
still
sounds
bigger.
better. And now your mi real microphone is better, of course. But I'm just saying that camera's better, and that audio mic that picks you up at that same distance is definitely better than that laptop. I don't know what the lap. I mean, I think we can get off laptops pretty soon.
I hope so. Well, I mean, I do think honestly it's cool the Apple goggles. I actually do think that those are kind of cool. Like
Yeah,
I
they
love
are.
the Oculus. My kids play the Oculus all the time, and they are so much like there's some stuff there that they don't like. Some kids will say nasty shit or sound mean or try to scare you or whatever. But overall, I see it as they're talking and playing. It like these are more free in that world too. Like it's really crazy. Like eventually, the virtual world just it will be like you will go to a basketball game, but not go. Or you will go to church, but not be there. And so the church can be anything any Sunday. You know, I don't
I
know.
don't
I'm not
know
sure that.
I don't know if I fully agree with it, with like the quality being better. I think it's like the convenience is the primary advantage. So quality is relative. I mean, it's just relative to what.
You don't think the virtual world will be better than the world we're in?
No, the virtual, yes. I'm talking about what Matt's talking about, where it's the quality of, you know, like right now, your phone is fine. That's fine.
I see what you're saying.
Audio is okay.
No, it's better than his laptop built-in one. That's all I'm saying. The real mic he's normally on 3 weeks ago, much better. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. I agree with that. I guess what I was thinking is, virtual reality stuff, that's crazy. I mean, of course, that technology is something different. But, like, I feel like obviously the phone cameras are great and everything's getting easier and faster. People don't really require as much. They just don't want it, as you know what I'm saying? Like the younger generation is not looking for that. That's not what they're like. Our generation was
impressed.
We were very impressed because it was the first time we got to see movies on big screens that were like, at the time it felt like super high quality video, and it got better and better. You're like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And now they just don't really, that's just not their thing. So it's just like, it's more content, quicker content, moving on. They don't even care. I mean, obviously some kids watch movies, but it's like they just want to see something real quick and move on. They don't care what it is. Like I said, we talked about this before, YouTube. The YouTube videos are good. I mean, they're good quality. Those guys use cameras, not just their phones. But, I mean, it is just them talking and yelling and doing all this stuff the whole time. And I'm like, how – I really ask my kids, I'm like, so what do you like about this? Like, what is it that attracts you to this? And they just say, oh, it's just fun. Like, it's just fun and funny and loud. It just reminds them of themselves, probably. You know what I mean? Like, it just reminds them of, like, crazy, loud. And so the parents are like, oh, my gosh, this guy's just yelling for 20 minutes into this phone camera. You know,
high production is like seen as like commercial, like it's like a company making it, not a person making it. That's a big difference. And that's the equivalent to my dad thinking, if you're really serious, you would be talking to you'd be wearing a suit in your business meeting, son.
Right. Right.
That's what my dad thinks. I need a suit to have I have to meet with a label person. But just like I would think, if somebody was trying to do a business meeting with me and they were wearing a suit, I cannot listen to that person because I know they're a scam. I know that they're a scam. So high production feels the same way. It's like, all the lights in the sound. What is this?
Right.
Yeah. No,
why don't you just be a person? Yeah. And then that would be real. So that's kind of where we are. So it's like, it's not going to impress anybody maybe still boomers. That still impresses them to have the $100,000 something, but the dynamic direct content is not, that is the real thing. But how to do it and put it together and present it, you can't be putting a lot of effort into that, or it's known that you're stupid.
the effort has shifted from quality to quantity. And so it's like, you know, YouTubers and stuff, they just like, I mean, they're probably thinking about content more than high quality people. You know what I mean? Like they're thinking about 24/7.
Of the dynamic, high intensity engagement. It's high intensity, it's hyper engaging and direct. And there's a quality in the content that's not in the production. And that's its own signal, you know?
Right. Right. And I mean, it's just interesting to see the differences. And I was thinking about this today too. Like you are right. If you push against it, like you're not going to learn or you're not going to adapt, that's bad. But I think it's almost impossible for parents to ever really think that what their kids are investing in is better. You know what I mean?
But like, aren't parents always wrong?
Well, they're wrong in a sense of like they are wrong about something.
Like that noisy, weird Elvis stuff is just too crazy. You shouldn't be doing that.
They're wrong about something. They're wrong about the fact that what was important to them is no longer important to their kids. They're wrong about that. So
but they always perceive the new thing as shitty, low grade, not good. But that includes things like everything good. rock music.
Well, yeah. But my point is, like, I think it's almost impossible for a generation to actually accept the next generation's primary interests and whatever it is as better. I think that's almost impossible. I don't think any of us do.
But the older generation is typically wrong.
But I don't know if it's a right or wrong thing.
I mean, they have. I'm not saying old people don't have wisdom. They have a lot. But I'm saying about their judgment of the new media coming from the young people, they're typically always wrong.
Sure, sure.
We might be the generation that does it, though, because like that's true. Live from no internet to. I heard this today. When did Google start?
Let me get this.
You know what I mean? You can start.
Okay, so the Google came in and disrupted what would have been the browsers before that. Yahoo would already exist before Google, and then the web crawlers, the World Wide Web, the Netscape. It disrupted Netscape, and that had to be 2000. And it probably didn't start. Google probably didn't start until 2002.
Nailed it. 2002. It's just 22 years old.
That's crazy.
And look how much it's affected us. That's what I wanted to talk about. I was telling Devin about it today. I do want to talk about the movie Devin and I went and saw too.
Yeah, that was good.
And I have some high thoughts that
are our early songs. Our early songs are older than, like, when we wrote Walls, you couldn't have Googled something to find out anything at that time.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then as soon as Google's made, it's the number one thing that anybody looks up on Google.
And that happened fast when people said Google it. That was a common phrase by 2006.
Yeah, Google it.
Like within the first two and a half years of it coming out.
Mama, Google it.
Google it.
Google it, Mama.
There's preachers out there going, and you can Google that.
Yeah, you can Google it.
That's funny.
So James Corden, who I don't really like that much. He used to be that late night talk show host. I forget who he's after.
Carpool karaoke guy and all that stuff.
I mean, he's fine, but something about him bothers me a little bit. I don't know where it always has a little bit. Anyway, but he had this great idea. A guy asked him, he's doing an interview, and the guy asked him, says, if you could make one law or one thing to make the world better, what would it be? And he goes, he knew immediately. He'd been thinking about this. I don't know if he stole it or it's his, whatever. I'm giving him credit right now because that's where I heard it. He said, you can look as much social media as you want, nonstop. Right. Look at it. Just sit there, veg out, doom scroll for 7 hours. But as soon as you stop, you can't look at it again for 7 hours. If you look at it for 2 minutes, you can't look at it. You have to take a 2 minute break. You know what I mean? Like, I know there's probably some ways around that. And then the video was the guy that actually made that app, and I'm linking to it. I'm like, I think I'm going to do that. Like, I just like that idea. There isn't really a restraint on me. Like, in my mind, it's tricking me to go, oh, yeah, you can look as much as you want because, you know, the end is coming soon, and it won't even be – it's out of your hands. And I thought that was so cool. I was like, man, it's really crazy because I really do think the things that are happening now are like – everybody's going to look back and go, oh, God damn, that was bad. Like, I'm really thinking that. Like, I've been freaked out lately about plastic pretty bad. Like, it actually does really freak me out how much my entire life has been plastic and heating up plastic and then eating – from what was just heated up, like, it just, there isn't any, like, I'm just like, oh yeah, fuck. And I'm doing that to my kids now, and it really spooked me the other day. I was like, oh shit, that's kind of one of my high thoughts.
I've been thinking similarly. Like, I got something to add on to that. I watched some video the other day about Wi-Fi routers and stuff like that, you know, and the amount of radiation it puts off and all that, and it made me start thinking about my phone. It's always on my body almost. And then all this stuff, and I was just started thinking, like, oh shit. I mean, that's the stuff we just don't know yet. Like, you know, we've only been carrying cell phones for a decade or whatever, not even.
Right.
And so, like, at some point, I've just been thinking more about that lately. Like, at some point, that's going to be like, well, they shouldn't have done that.
Right.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of those.
But
I was thinking about it the other day, how creepy is it when we were on tour, 2 weeks ago, and I'm riding down the road, I'm driving, and I go, I don't have my phone. It's not here. And I made us turn around, and 8 people went for this thing that needs to attach to Toby. And everybody knew how I felt. And everybody knows, I hope he gets it back. Like, y'all are all hoping I got that thing that's attached to me back, like a demon or something. You know what I mean? Like, I know I'm not getting spiritual here. Like, maybe demons back in the day were the things that actually is just that gets us. You know what I mean? Like, a phone, I'm almost helpless to it. I promise you, I know I shouldn't look at my phone as much. I know without a shadow of a doubt. And I'm helpless to it. It's crazy that something has that much power over me. Like, I feel real weird if I'm out without it. Like, if I'm not that far from the house, I turn around and go get it. If I leave my phone in the house, I turn around and go get it. And I'm like, what? And if you told somebody, yeah, there's going to be this thing that knows everything about you and tracks you and lives in your pocket.
You go, the tracking is sus to me. I'm tracking the kids now, and I just don't think it's – I don't think it's I think there is a relation to – I think that it does give you actual burden knowing that you are being tracked, that
is
something on them that isn't good. Like, you know, and I can't really not do it. You know, you're not going to be able to not track your kids, and they're going to feel tracked. The feeling they'll have of their life is one of being tracked, and you can't act like that's, well, what does it do to them? They just can ignore it, but no, they cannot. It's part of their experience and decision-making of what they, like, can you imagine? It's like, what if they had a photographic, like, okay, I'm just being creative about the future here, but imagine in the future, if there's an AI that you can install in your kids' experience, which will give them a floating version of their mom right here as they go through their day. And it will help keep them safe and tell them, but it's not really their mom, and they can ignore if they want to, but it is their mom. And she is there, and it will tell them what she would say, or just
her presence. That.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, or even it just minor facial expressions, but never speaks. Like, the fact that you know it's there in, the periphery or right behind you, then you're that, you know, can you just imagine how destructive that is? Sorry, moms, but.
Oh, you know,
it is destructive. And so a lot of parents put that into their kid. Like, a lot of parents put a lot of effort into making their kids feel that they're over their shoulder all the time. You know, but, I mean, you could actually do it with technology, and you can't act like that's not totally oppressive. Like, my mom sees what I'm doing, or she knows, or she's in my head, or she's tracking me, and my AirTag's on my necklace. Oh, fuck. And I only act the way I would act if my mom was tracking me. I never act the way I would act if I was just me, because I'm not. Yikes.
Yeah. It was funny because I was thinking about that a little bit today, too, because my kids were – beautiful weather here today and yesterday, and so we've just been outside a ton. Oh, it's just – it's like paradise.
Yeah, you can't – I mean, I know Seattle's beautiful.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Well, we had a good one.
May or April? My God.
But my kids – you know, we're outside, and my kids are outside, and the neighbors, the boys came over and stuff like that, and we have these little what are the things called that you ride on? What are those stupid things called?
Mechanical bulls.
Mechanical bulls, yeah. Not Segway, without the handle.
Hoverboard.
Hoverboard. Yeah, so we have those, but you have a little thing you can attach to them and sit, and you can steer it, you know, like this.
Oh, yeah.
And they're pretty cool, and Remy loves it. So anyway, him and one of the neighbor boys, he's probably, I think he's 10, maybe 9, and Remy's only 6. And so River comes in, he goes, Remy just went down the road with it on the thing, you know. But I live in like this one of the, I mean, it's probably one of the safest neighborhoods
almost
in America.
Almost no traffic.
Almost no traffic or whatever. But, you know, there's a little ways down the end of the cul-de-sacs. And I was thinking about it. I was like, huh, he is 100% fine. You know, like, I wasn't worried about him at all, other than maybe like being little and on that thing and a car not see you or something like that, you know, and he's riding down the road. But it was totally fine. They got back and I was like, yeah, I mean, that, I was thinking about that exact thing. Like, they like to walk a it's probably a quarter mile to their neighbor's house or whatever.
Yeah.
And just play and not even think about it. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably good. I don't need to worry about that. I don't need to think. I don't need to drive them down there every time. I don't need to do this thing. They are fine. Like, he's 6 and River's 9.
Yeah.
And they are absolutely fine. Like, of course, something bad could happen.
Right.
One in a 100,000 chance. But, you know, it's just like, well, just let them figure it out. They're going to run back screaming if somebody does something, you know, pulls up or whatever it is. So I was just kind of considering that today too. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's going to get worse and worse for tracking your kids and making them feel less and less free.
And let's say, the like, you know, of, your kids are supposed to feel like your development's about you feeling safe. And that doesn't make you feel safe. Now, well,
it's a controlling thing. Like you think if I know I can keep them safe. And now, and part of that's true.
Implies the danger. It's like you are not safe. The world is not safe. That's the parental spirit. Yeah. And the whole point of a childhood is to feel safe. Like you need to feel safe or else you act bad when you're an adult if you don't feel safe.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to feel safe.
That whole thing is kind of what was even behind like the vaccines. Like you have to take a vaccine or else you're going to die. Like it really felt that way for a long time. Right. And I'm not even getting into the yes or no. I took the vaccine. But just the idea there is that, everyone's going to die. You're going to kill people.
It's not safe.
You're going to kill people. Bad. You aren't even safe. Right. You aren't. Not only is they not safe, you aren't safe. And that whole idea really has infected the America. I really think the long-term effects of the pandemic lockdown is real bad, especially for kids. That's the most like the miss, you know, like my daughter missed fifth grade. It's like one of the most important grades. You know what I mean? Yeah. And she missed half of fourth grade. And then when she really gets back to school, she's in middle school, the hardest thing for any human to ever have to go through almost. You know what I mean? It's insane. I mean, that's just really crazy. And it was really based on a lot of fear. And I was scared to death. I mean, I still cross the street when somebody's walking my way. I just cross the street now. That is what I will always do probably for the rest of my life. I'm not going to be near somebody. I'm just like, they probably don't want to be near me. I don't want to be near them. So
you were always a bit that way, though. Not germs. Well, it's not germs. It's just like social.
It reinforced that I was right.
Right. But to be clear, it's a social thing for you to not want to have to like interact with a person in the social field, not more than it is germs.
Now, listen to me. I love people, but a distance, I never understand people sitting close or talking close. You know what I mean? Like, you remember how many times we've been on the road and there'll be somebody in the green room that's a close talker? And you're like, oh my God.
That's the worst about green rooms because it's loud. It gives people the excuse. Yeah. The loud environments give people all the reason to put their mouth into your ear and then speak or right between your ear and your own nose, right here.
I was thinking about it the other day. Remember, I'm not going to say their name, but there was a person that was in the green room and they were. Y'all would know who, I'll tell you after. The softest talker you could ever.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but I know exactly what you're talking
about. And you're just like, you can't do anything. They're just soft talking. And you're like, I mean, there's literally a band playing on the other side of the wall. You have to talk hair loud. Moving. It's insane.
There's a lot of people like that. That's just common as a lot of things. Yeah.
But what we were talking about before, even the fear and all that stuff, we watched Civil War. That's the movie we saw. Have you heard about that? Mm-mm. It has, what's her name in it?
Claire Danes. She's good.
Yeah.
She's cool.
Yeah, everybody's good. It's good.
It's
good.
It's cool.
I don't know if it'll totally play out that. Like, I think more than anything, the movie made me think about how will it really, like, if there was a Civil War. But in this movie, I think it's been like two states leave the Union and then all hell breaks out and like one side is literally fighting the other one to take over America, all of America. And some cities, some towns just stay out of it. Like the Midwest, they just like, they don't watch the news and they just stay out of it. And the fighting is kind of on the coast or whatever, you know, on the East Coast, they go and get the president and everything. But it really did make me think like, how close are we to that? Like, cause you always think back to the Civil War. Oh, that was so long ago, and that was about slavery, and that wouldn't happen again. We're way beyond. Like, we always think we're smarter than people in the past. We are. We might know more. We have access to more information, but we're not actually smarter. I don't think. No. I don't know if we're actually, you know, like I'm way smarter than my great 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 grandpa. I think our brain. He might even been smarter than me. So it is weird. Like, is it going to happen? And it made me again start thinking. I mean, I bet movies like that and everything, just the prepping is probably going up. I'd love to see prepping since like it probably went down some after like the fall of Russia or the USSR and maybe the wall, the Berlin, you know, I bet some prepping went down, but I bet it's been back since probably at least Trump or longer. Right. Maybe.
I mean, sure. Yeah. I mean, I have it real clear in my mind, the prepping that I still haven't done because I still got to clean up the garage more.
Yeah.
I lost the key to my storage unit. So now I'm waiting on the storage unit. And then I'm going to clean up the garage. And then I'm going to get my tools in order. And then I'm going to start collecting a little bit of food.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just kind of backed up on it. But I do have a little bit of plans laid out of the things I would feel a little bit better if I had. That is definitely
true.
I told Toby I bought these two prepper backpacks.
Yeah.
So I bought two of them. It's the same thing. It's just one of those things where I'm like, this stuff's
you
probably
stupid if you don't have it.
Like if something happened, I mean, and this gives you like 72 hours of food for five people. You know, there's, you know, things like that. And it lasts up to like 5 or 6 years. That is good. And, you know, I don't imagine anything crazy going to happen in 5 or 6 years. I mean, I'm not like thinking it's any time now.
You've got money in the bank. Why would you rather? And what good is that money going to do you when the X, you know?
But it's,
I was going to buy seeds. Everybody's talking about you got to get the seeds. You need the bunch seeds. Of the seed.
That's the future. Like,
how are you
going to
be regenerative? I mean, how
I've never been able to keep anything alive. I'm going to buy a 70-pound bag of different seeds. Only thing I can do is go, hey, I'm going to use these, but I'll sell them to you for some water. That's all I can do.
I bet you fish farming would be good post-apocalypse. Yeah. If you could catch a few wild fish and then farm those suckers, if you had a safe place to do it, that'd be better than seeds, trying to get the calories.
Yeah, you're right. 100%.
But what's crazy about the movie, too, is like the idea of just like no matter like wherever you go, if something like that did happen, wherever you go, you're always – I don't think you can ever trust anybody again. It's like you just lose all trust.
Yeah, that's the worst part about it, I guess. But, I mean, after the American Civil War, trust was rebuilt, you know.
My dad still didn't like
Yankees coming down to Myrtle Beach and say, why don't they just stay up there if they like it up there so
good. Our parents didn't like Yankees.
They don't totally trust Michigan, people from Michigan. You know what I mean? But mostly they do. Like, they basically trust them, but not as much.
Right.
Right. And that's 100 and
I know.
However many years later.
I know. I mean, I do think it's probably going to happen. There's going to be, and I think it's probably that AI tech thing that AI has to basically become God and save us, I think, or else something bad's going to happen. Cause we live in this crazy, amazing time in history where like, you know what I mean? Like, even the bad parts of the world are getting better at least. You know what I mean? Like it used to be you go to kill and you do everything you can. And I mean, and it's That's just awesome. Going to end.
This is a good point. I think that
we lived what if we lived in the best time in history? Because, I mean, more tech isn't going to make you happier. You know what I mean? Like, we literally got to see, like riding bikes like E.T. and, you know, just out with your boys riding your bike and, you know, the 80s and the 90s are crazy. Then the early 2000s. I mean, we got to live in a time where I don't know. I mean, maybe other people say that, but it seems like the other times weren't as good. It's pretty damn good. The time we lived in all of history.
Well, you're lucky. Do you remember, like, okay, you'll probably remember this, where it wasn't this automatic feeling that each year was worse than the last, but, and, you know, that's a start as a joke. I think I talked about it on the podcast, but it pretty much was it wasn't even 2016. It was about, like, 2015. People were acting like, oh, the new year, as, like, that's, it might be another crazy, like not another one. I don't remember what had happened bad then or how it felt exactly, but there was a sense of like another, this year was crazy. Hold my beer 2016 or whatever. That feeling.
Yeah.
It was before 2016. I distinctly remember it probably was going into 2015. The first time it felt like it couldn't be crazier than the last. And then no matter what, worse and worse since, right?
Yeah.
And on that particular level, like individuals' lives, not necessarily, maybe way better. And maybe whole groups and maybe everything's better, but we're just let me try and pull out of the spiral here. I'm going to pull back the opposite way here. Let me take an off ramp. It's probably all if you connect all the way back, here we are talking ourselves into fear, basically.
Yeah.
We started this episode saying it's you got to feel safe, you're safe, and you need to – you got to do everything you can to make sure your environment's safe reasonably, and then you got to believe it is safe. But we all we do is get scary information and then get a adrenaline dopamine kick out of it.
Yeah.
So we might be really stupid
that, make money.
That we are living in the best time possibly imaginable today, and we think it's bad. That's probably actually where I'm going to land on how, you know, even when I hear myself talk about prepping like that, I think, yeah, of course it's smart to something or another, but it might just be true that we're freaked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We freaked ourselves out and you know, when we start liking horror movies, when you're like, oh, this one's going to freak me out. We're just doing it with reality.
Yeah.
Like, ooh. War, you know, like we're just like it's a way of like making it, but it might make it happen. Is the idea that's not crazy, like the stock market and manifesting. And I just read this old book from this lady from like the 18, it was born 18 something, and it kind of had those ideas in it. But it's like, you know, it's somewhere between manifesting and the stock market is actually the economy just goes on what people think the economy is going to do. Like, it goes the way we think, collectively think. So if you have a bunch of people true criming it up out there, that probably actually makes us all less safe, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's only in our heads because we actually maybe have it good. Maybe we just have it really good, but we're just being stupid.
In that movie we saw today, and I'm not trying to spoil anything, but they talk about their parents a little bit, and there's a few people in there who, like, they just are living in the middle of nowhere or on a farm, and they're just pretending like it's not happening. They're just not watching news and not responding to what's going on. And there's one scene.
Why
where,
is that pretending if it's not happening?
Well,
to them,
that's what I'm saying. It's
how's
not
that
really
pretending?
That's my point. It's not really
it's just
pretending.
Where your attention is.
It just is happening to that those people. And so, but there's one instance where one of the guys who's, you know, traveling through this all this stuff, and they come to this town that doesn't look like anything really happened to. And he asked this lady, he's like, well, don't you know like what's going on? She's like, yeah, but it's not happening here. You know, you know, so it's just like,
yeah, we just stay away from it because it doesn't look like it's any good.
Right. So why would we want to be a part of that? You just, you just create what you want it to be. I'm not saying that as easy as it sounds always, but I mean,
that's
society's
based on trust. So if you can, that's not the best thing to, you know, sell off for some kind of individual gain, because that's what you need. So if you don't participate in the other stuff, then as long as you and the other people both aren't participating in that stuff, you can actually trust each other more. You can.
And
it's not false. Like, you can go, yeah, but humans ultimately are bad. Well, not the ones that trust each other. They treat each other good.
Right.
So whatever that fabric, whatever creates that fabric is good.
Yeah.
It sucked for me because I thought we were going to go see Captain America Civil War. And then Devin didn't tell me the whole title.
It was Captain America.
So I was like, fuck, I thought it was a Marvel movie. Shit. all right, let's pay some bills and take this conversation over to part two, because I have some high thoughts that I think are the craziest thoughts I've ever had in my life. And I'm worried somebody's already thought of them, but to me, they're brand new.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
but let's pay some bills.
All right, let's do that.
Join Emeryland. Join Emeryland.
Join it. And
join
you know,
join Emeryland.
So here's some things we got coming up that you do get some discounts on pre-shows. We got a May tour coming up in about a month.
With the Almost.
The Almost. We're going to be playing The Week's End. He's going to be playing Southern Weather. We're going all through the Midwest. We're doing Des Moines, St. Louis, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Chicago. Detroit, Grand Rapids, I think. We haven't been there in a long time. Cleveland, I think that's about it. But we're going to be throughout the Midwest in May. Get your tickets. Also, pre-show, you pay. You can bring up to two guests with you. And it's awesome. We do like six acoustic songs. It's very fun, very cool. And it's really cool. Also, we have a spring merch drop. So a new drip drop, as they say, of some really cool designs. We have a couple that are really awesome. I think they turned out great. So if you go to emrymusic.com, you can get that new merch.
Who says drip drop?
It's selling quick. I'm going to ship it to you.
New drip. New drip is like reference to new clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's like there's a merch drop, but then now there's drips.
Yeah. But now there's new drip.
So and this drip is not mid.
That's fire.
Not mid. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fire, dog. I'm sorry. I meant a dog. Dog's not a thing anymore. Bro. I messed that up, bro. Yeah. So you got that. Go to emerymusic.com. Also, we're doing these new song products. Matt, you might be able to say the actual product name if you want to go ahead and give us that.
I think it was just short original custom song.
Okay. Yes.
And I like the little nickname Jameo.
Yeah, Jameo.
Because it includes
a
video.
Not a cameo.
Because cameo is actually, let's just be upfront about this. Everybody knows cameo is lame.
Lame. Yeah.
Cameo is stupid. But, you know.
This
selling videos of like doing stuff isn't so bad. If it's you really, if you do something. And so we're going to do what we do that is at least something creative and put music. It's music.
Yeah. And don't give money to cameo. Give money to us.
It's not lame. It's actually something. It's not nothing being sold. It's something.
So we can write you a little verse, a little chorus.
Yep.
Well, me and Toby will, you know, we'll sing it sometime. Maybe some of the other band members will be a part of that too. But you can get those now, I think, on our website as well, emerymusic.com. So that's kind of
an example
would
be for a bachelor party. Like you get a thing for your buddies to get married, wedding present. Or you want to do something kind of sweet, a little bit lighter though, anniversary, special occasion. You could dictate the song. It's like a musical, like a vignette, like a something.
So for
you
the
can
bachelor
set the
party,
stage,
you know,
and say what it's. Yeah, exactly. It's a dent. So, yeah, go ahead.
You got
so
a song.
For the bachelor party. Well, I don't have the song necessarily, but I was thinking the lyrics could be something like, "Tonight's your last chance
to have sex
with someone
with
else."
Person.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can really dig into the lyrical content, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get some information from them, right? Because. Like, you know, his name is Mike.
Hey, Kyle, I'm breaking up with you. We can do breakup. We can deliver
some songs. Yeah, breakup song's a good idea.
Yeah.
So you get to dictate the scene of the setting of the musical vignette.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be really good at that.
So we'll be collaborating because you'll be kind of setting the stage.
Yeah.
And then we'll do so you're the director and Toby and Devin will be the performers. And it's like four real parts of life and drama in your life and remembering it. So it's actually, you know, it's playful and fun, interactive.
Yes, it is.
And also, one last thing, I think, right? I think we can announce this now. We're doing a big summer tour.
Big.
We can talk about that, right? So
it's
supposed to be announced on Tuesday, and so we'll just have to release this in an appropriate time.
Yeah.
And we are doing – I don't even know all the bands that are on it. It's switching out. So we're doing a bunch of summer dates all over the U.S., which is very different for us as of the past few years because we don't –
This is the most
quite as long
chance you're going to get to see us. So I would take advantage.
And this is like a – 20-year, it's called 20 Years of Tears, I think is the final name of the album. We're going with Hawthorne Heights and Berlin. There's some shows with
Thursday.
This Wildlife, I think, going to be on it.
Armor
for Sleep, Stick to Your Guns. I think is Cartel doing some? Is that right?
Yeah. There's even more bands that they'll announce.
Yeah, and there's more, and they're kind of switching in and out here and there. But we're doing Is for Lovers dates with those. It's going to be really cool. So we're excited to do all that. So those tickets will be on sale soon. So just be on the lookout for all that good stuff.
And then if you join Emeryland, you get your name read on this podcast. And I thought it was interesting. All the people this time, they sent in what their nicknames were, like the mean things that kids would call them, like in elementary school. Did y'all have any bad names? What did they call you guys?
Matt Fat, Matt the Rat.
Yeah.
I don't think I had any bad nicknames.
Okay. Not Devin Dickhead?
No, I never got Devin Dickhead, really. I was always...
All right, well, you want to read the names, Devin? You got them?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, go ahead, my friend.
Name number one, Stephen Henning.
They call him Pepe Le Pew.
Le Pew, nice.
Yeah.
All right, how about Taryn Gutt?
Call him Butthole.
Butthole's a good one. That's a good one.
It is a good one. Just call somebody a Butthole. It's actually pretty awesome. That's Elizabeth, better than asshole. I actually wrote a song.
It's better.
Butthole is nastier than asshole. Asshole you don't think of as nasty. Butthole you think of like poo particles. And butthole is a worse slang.
Asshole is behavior. Butthole's a gross place.
Butthole's like, oh, God. Okay.
Elizabeth Swanson.
They called her Bill Cosby.
Man, Elizabeth. All right. Well,
wow.
I hear you. Grant Curse.
Tubby Tubular. That was my nickname. That's what they called me, Tubby Tubular. What a little bastard.
All right, Say his name again. I think it's Grant Curse.
Oh, they actually called him Puke Dick.
All right, then Luis Hardines. I'm just guessing that one.
Needle Dick Dicky the Turkey Fucker. All right, join us over on part two.
Before we go to part two, I got one more ask, and we've kind of been talking about this lately, but we know a lot of you guys listen to us on Spotify. We know that we have a lot of loyal listeners, but one thing that I think would help us out that we've been kind of talking more about recently is the more people who can actually follow us on Spotify is better for us. I think it's more keeping track of what we're doing. It's able to follow us more closely musically and things like that. So if you don't mind and you're not following us on Spotify, just listening, we appreciate that. But if you could follow us too, that would be very helpful, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, that number matters. That number actually seems to matter the most. Not just listener, but just click that follow. And then that follow, guys.
And we appreciate it.
Click it and flick it.
Over to part two.